If you look into the insert there in your bulletin, you can see we actually have four scripture passages listed. We're going to be focusing on really the first three. And these first three deal with spiritual issues that have to do with change and motivation. And then a third thing, which is a fascinating power of the stories that we tell ourselves. Stories that prevent us from doing the good things that we want to do in life. And the first passage along these lines is a brilliant peek into this mental gamesmanship that we play, that we've been doing obviously for thousands of years at minimum. We're in chapter 9 of Gospel of Luke. Just a little context here. Jesus is speaking to a few people. And these few people say that they have a passionate interest in following him. You go, well, what does that mean? I mean, literally follow him, yes. But more than that, what are they really following? They want what he has to offer. And that's why they want to be physically close, so they can get that. And what he offers, as we know, is abundant love and life and interior freedom and meaning and purpose and value and wisdom and joy and forgiveness and all of these qualities, all these things that he leads us to. They want a positive life experience. And with that, they want to have some powerful life change because nobody's there fully. We're all working at it. And then we hear what happens. What happens when it comes to following through with that? And this is a story. So Luke 9 says, as they were walking along the road, a man said to Jesus, I will follow you wherever you go. So Jesus said, well, follow me. And then the person said, Lord, let me first go bury my father. And Jesus said to him, very interesting thing, leave the dead to bury their own dead, but as for you, go and proclaim the kingdom of God. The interesting thing as an aside here to this is that we never hear what happened to that man, do we? Did he ever come back? What did he do? And then we're told another said, I will follow you, Lord, but let me first say farewell to those at my home. And Jesus said to him, no one who puts a hand to the plow and looks back is fit for the kingdom of God. And with that, may God bless our understanding and our living of this truly abundant word of love and life. So we think of this. This is what I want to do. I would want to continue to work on my dream, continue to build our loving marriage, continue a meaningful vocation with great purpose, to work towards abundant health and a great relationship with our children. I want to be happy. I want to experience peace. I want to have that feeling always of being at home with myself and free and be able to be in this environment with anyone and with everyone. But let me first do something else. Right? You listen to that and you go, it doesn't make any sense. I mean, this is what you want. And then you say that. To which Jesus says, anyone who puts his hand to the plow and looks back isn't fit for the kingdom of God. I hear that and I go, that sounds very harsh. Like you're going to get kicked out of something. But what he does with important things, and this is an important thing, is he gives a shock treatment to wake people up. And here he's talking about the essence, the kingdom of God, the most important things in a person's life. That's the ideal, the kingdom of God, kingdom of heaven, happiness, well-being, whatever you want to call it. It's that passion of what makes you well, what fosters love in your life, What creates fulfillment and heals you and others? And what gives you that deep sense of resonant well-being? And so if this is what you want, if you want to follow this, but first then you decide, you know, you're going to go and do something else, he says, you know, it doesn't fit. It doesn't fit together with this ideal. It's like those Tupperware bowls and tops that you have in your cupboards. That, you know, if you have a whole bunch of tops and bowls, that they don't fit each other. It's just a whole bunch of junk, and it doesn't make any sense. So today, if nothing else, you can all go home, check your cupboards, clean out the stuff that doesn't fit. He's shocking people, intentionally. People, out of telling ourselves these stories that hold us back. And then elsewhere, and this is the third passage, where he addresses this in a somewhat different way, when he says, let what you say simply be yes or no. Either I'm going to do this or not. He says, once you start spinning stories, say, I really want to do these things, but not. He says, anything else he says is evil, which doesn't mean like, you know, heinous global evil. He uses that word a lot of times to just mean bad. It's not good. It's not good. Because once we say something that either yes or no, I either have business with this or I don't have business with this, and we start spinning these tales, we start looking backwards. I really want to get in shape, I just don't have the time. Not today, you know? It's not the right month. I need a new outfit. All these things that we tell ourselves. He says, gets us off track. Fuzzies your thinking. Helps us to plow in zigzag lines. And we look back. We look back at our past. I don't know. It's really hard to start. You know, I've tried this before. I've tried this many times before. I want to do it, but I haven't been able to do it before. And we start talking ourselves out of these things. St. Paul addresses this too in a beautiful way. Second passage. He says, throw off everything that hinders and entangles and run with perseverance the race that is set before you. Looking ahead, not playing those mental games, not throwing those grenades in our way that sabotage what we want. Has anybody here ever done that? Anything like that? I know that every one of you has done that. I do that. Why do we do that? Why do we tell ourselves that we want something 100 times? I want to go do this, and then we do something different. We all do that. You know, we want to lose weight, and that darn pint of ice cream is sitting right there before us. You know, it's like, after the pint of ice cream, I'm going to work so hard at this. You know, bed is so comfortable, but we want to exercise. Why do we do that? Jesus knew all too well. He knew humanity in and out, that any kind of change, even if it's welcome change, is really hard. It requires us to step up to the unfamiliar territory. And we don't like unfamiliar. It may be a mess, but it's our mess. It might be bad habits, but there are bad habits. And they're like an old shoe. So we look back. And go back to old patterns, thought behaviors. Our brains are very sneaky, you know, when we look back using rationalizations. But let me first do this. You know, my muscles are a little sore today. I'm going to feel better tomorrow. So our daughter, Aaliyah, had a roommate. I think she was a roommate in college. And a friend, roommate, she's here, so she can check this out. She'll tell you the whole story. This roommate had such a classic tagline that it became all the friends' tagline, and then she told us, and it became our tagline, which was, diet starts tomorrow. And she would believe it every time, wholeheartedly. Of course the diet starts tomorrow. You know, when does it always start? I mean, if it starts now, you can't enjoy this bite now. you know, I got to go to the party, you know, so they're going to have all sorts of good stuff, so it can't start then, you know. So, I mean, whether it's true for dieting or our spiritual life, our soul, I talk to people all the time, it's like, you know, I want to work on what's in here. I want what this offers. I want that sense of comfort and purpose. And then I hear why they can't. Now, it's one thing if you're talking about losing a few pounds. That doesn't really matter so much. But when you're talking about those things that matter, that's vital. And those things that matter really always come down to, what I've found, are three things. Meaningful relationships in your life. Maybe you're married, maybe you have children. It's usually those things that are really central to how you kind of evaluate what's going on in your life. How do you feel? Or your friendships, right? All those things. Relationships, your health, and I mean physical and emotional and soul, spiritual. And your vocation. And I don't mean your 9-to-5 or, you know, I'm retired, I don't have a vocation. You always have a vocation because that's your calling from God. You always have a calling from God. There's always something that will engage you and give you purpose and meaning. So those three things. Relationship, health, vocation. So with that, let me tell you just a little story about an email that a church member sent to me a little while back. And it said this. It said, sometimes we're afraid to start a new dream because we think it'll take too long. It might take years to open a business or write a book or build a social media platform. But this person wrote that she met someone recently who had some tremendous faith, who told her a story, and it goes like this. A woman who was 40 years old approached this man at an event that he was leading and told him, she said, I want to be a nurse, but it's going to take 5 years. And she said, that feels too long. It's a lot of time, 5 years. She said, half a decade for just one part of one dream. So this man said, well, in 5 years, you're going to be 45. Regardless if you become a nurse or not. 45, he said, that's happening anyway. But if you go back to school, you could be 45 and a nurse. It's up to you, he said. I don't know what your dream is, but your age is happening regardless. Time will pass. The years will turn. And some dreams take a long time and investment. But you can make the decision about whether you'll end up with age and a dream or just age. So here we go. What if we start today with that dream, that ideal, that kingdom of God that is calling out to you, saying, I want to do this. I want this. Are you in a job or career, some life situation that you want to be improved? Either you can do something about that, or 5, 10, 15 years from now, you're still going to be in that life situation that you don't like. Are you in a marriage that could use tuning up? But, you know, counseling's a hassle. You got to find the right person. There's a cost. You know, you've tried to improve it yourself. I don't know how that worked for you. Either you do something, or 5, 10, 15 years from now, you're still going to be in a marriage that's left wanting. You will have just lived with it that much longer. You're in a body And you go, I would love to work on, you know, live in a body that feels more healthy. Either you do something, or 5, 10, 15 years from now, you're still going to be in that body that you wish you had done something about. You have your soul, that there's something inside where there's a yearning. And you say, I wish I would pay attention to that and follow that. And you know the rest. Putting your hand to the plow. May your answer be yes or no, not at this time. Powerful medicine. And Jesus gave it. And we have it, that gift. Because you are worth it. May we use that gift well. Amen.
God of new beginnings and days of old, we gather here with you today thankful for every moment that we have lived in the midst of your gorgeous creation. And we give you thanks for calling us to stop our busy days and just be with one another and with you in this time of worship. We don't take this time together for granted, God, understanding that in many places of our world, people are worshiping you in secret for fear of persecution. So help us to be bold in our love and worship of you. When we are faced with moral decisions, help us to be bold in our love for you and stand firmly in the position of what is right. And when we are faced with someone in need, help us to be bold in our love for you and reach out not one but two hands to offer help. And when we are faced with questions of integrity, help us to be bold in our love for you by being bold in our love for ourselves. Our freedom of religious practice is a precious gift, God, and one that we need to boldly hold on to, and one that we don't want to forget. So help us to talk about you with others, offering your comfort and peace in times of pain, offering your mercy and grace in times of trial, offering your forgiveness and love in times of transgression. You are our God, and we are your people. And we will work to love you boldly, not just in deed, but in word, so that the world may know and experience your peace and your joy and your hope and your love. All this we pray with open hearts as we boldly say together, Amen.